this next portion of our sermon series that we're doing, Living Victoriously, that if we're not on God's schedule, we're going to miss some good stuff. Because this next portion here that we're looking at, I've entitled, Take Hold of Your Victory. Because, you know, we all run around thinking we've got the answers in many situations. But the truth of the matter is, there's only one answer, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And when we understand that, and we get in line with Him, rather than asking Him to bless our mess, it's amazing what begins to happen in our lives. But again, that means we've got to get on God's timetable. We've got to get lined up with Him. And I need to show us all where that starts and how that begins. And I've given you the scriptures there, so take up your Bible. And I'd like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans. We're going to begin in chapter 5. We're going to begin in chapter 5, and we're going through verse 14. Now, if you look at my Bible, I think it's just funny because you all know what that is. When you see one of my pages colored up like that, what is that? That's what I call my coloring book sermons. I don't need any notes. I have preached this and preached this and preached this for the last 21 years so many times that all I got to do is put my brakes in there. So each color is a point. And I know the word the Lord has given me. And today I'm going to give it to you, looking at it through these eyes, looking at it through this focusing lens, that we need to take hold of our victory. If we want to live victoriously, we've got to look at who we are. That's the first point here. We have to look at where we were so we can find out where we are to get to where we need to be. Amen? Because if we don't know where we came from, we're doomed to repeat it. And that's what's happening in our world today, isn't it? Our young people have no idea where we came from. They don't know how we got so wealthy and how we got so rich. They just want to have it all. They don't want to have to do what's necessary to get there. Well, we're going to have to teach them that, just as I'm going to have to teach you where you came from and how that truly begins to focus the beam to get it down so that it's a razor edge that we can walk. Rather than this big, broad, wide shotgun pattern, we need a rifle sight to keep us on target. Because I don't know whether you know it or not, but a shotgun only goes about 70 yards. A rifle will go 7 miles. I want longevity. Amen? And that's what we need to shoot for. That's what we need to aim for. So beginning in the 17th verse, we have to begin where we are or where we were. It says, "For if by the transgression of one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, this is talking to you and I about original sin and Adam. Adam brought that original sin. Adam and Eve brought that original sin into our lives, into this world, and we became a cursed people. Can I get an amen? And from that reality, that's where we have come from. We have to realize what we were, or perhaps what we are, if we want to get to where we want to be. Because right now in our world, people don't want to realize what they are. They just want to be what they want to be, amen? And they don't want to do what's necessary to get there. And God says, no, you have got to look at where you are, admit where you are, before I can take you anywhere else. So where are we? Let's read on from verse 18. "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as though one man's disobedience the many, for through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. You and I need to understand that Adam cursed generations from the very beginning to today and unto tomorrow and throughout the rest of time. All of Adam's offspring will be cursed because of original sin. And there's nothing we can do to change that. However, there is something that we can do to change our destiny. And it so amazes me because God wanted us to understand so well that we were separated from Him. He gave the people something that they thought would separate them unto holiness, when in all reality, what it did was put the seal of condemnation upon mankind. What was that something that God gave us? The law. Let us continue. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I need to understand, God needed us to see our sin. We didn't have any idea what sin truly was until the law was added, and then we could see where we were falling short. How many of you know what the speed limit is until you see the sign? How many of you listen to what that sign tells you? So if the sign wasn't there, you wouldn't be breaking the law, would you? They'll just take them suckers down. We are the same people. And the law is the same law. All the law does is point out our inability to achieve it because of sin in our lives, because we fall short, because we are an unholy peoples. For no one is good, no, not one. For no man seeketh God. If God did not seek our hearts, none of us would seek Him. And that's a truth. I've talked to many people and they say, well, but I'm a good person. No, you're not. You may be good by whose standards? Remember, last time we were together, we looked at God's good, acceptable, or pleasing, and perfect will. It's not good to us. It's not pleasing to us or acceptable to us or perfect to us. It's good to God. It's acceptable to God. It's perfect from God. He gets to set the definitions because He's the creator. You may call yourself good because I do nice things for people. I go out and raise money for the poor and the homeless. But the reality is, without Jesus Christ, is any of that stuff going to get you to heaven? Absolutely not. You are condemned in your own sin because in your mind and in your heart and even with your tongue and your being, every one of us sins every day. And to sin is to be separated from God forever. You cannot come in and of your own merits. If God had to weigh it out, good versus evil in your life, what we need to remember is God is so holy and so pure, absolutely no evil can come before Him. So if there is one drop of evil in your being, you can never be in the presence of God. And people say, but I don't do anything bad. Really? Have you ever told somebody that Santa Claus is real? You just lied. That's damnation, brothers and sisters. It's that simple. Have you ever told somebody, oh, that dress makes you look so good? Turn around and walk away and say to myself, oh my gosh, did you see that dress she was wearing? We've never done that, right, ladies? Never done that, right, ladies? How about you guys? I mean, I could hammer some guys here, too. We talk to fellas, and oh, man, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you turn around and think, oh, man, can you believe? Do you know what that sucker does? We talk out of both sides of our mouth. That's deception. That's damnation. That's where we all are. Have you ever had a bad thought? Okay, Jesus says if you hate your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. Wow. So are any of us really good? The answer is no. But praise God that through His abounding grace, through His abounding grace, verse 20, that grace abounded all the more. What does that mean? That in our time of need, in our time of trouble, even though we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That's what that means. And we all have to accept that. That's where we were. If you are in Christ, that's where you were. If you're not in Christ, that's where you are. You have to accept where you are or where you were in order to move to the next step. Because if we cannot see that, we cannot enter into the eternal life that we receive through Jesus Christ. Because we will not admit that we need God. You know, I have a lot of people out there who tell me, oh, Pastor, I know who Jesus is, but I'm a good person. Do you hear that? I know who Jesus is, but I'm a good person. He didn't have to die for me. That's what they just said. And then they walk around and they come to church and all kinds of stuff, and you wonder why those people, as they go, and believe me, I'm talking to the church now, they leave a wake of dead bodies in their path. Because they're constantly burning people and hurting people. You know, we've all seen it. We've all been there. We've all played church. And it doesn't get anybody to heaven. Oftentimes what it does is destroy a church. Because people want to know that God loves them. And when you have other people calling themselves Christians, hurting other Christians, what do you have? A mess. And we need to accept where we are and the fact that each and every one of us needs Jesus Christ every moment of every day. Can I get an amen? I'll even pay a quarter for it. Because Jesus paid it all for me. Amen? Amen. That's what that means. When a pastor says that, I'll even pay a quarter for it. What we're talking about is the reality that Christ paid it all. There's nothing more I can add to it, nothing more I can take from it. We need to understand that. This is where each and every one of us find that point of struggle, because this is where we have to get honest with ourselves. How many of us like to get honest with ourselves? How many of us like to look in the mirror and say, you're a mess? How many of us like to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, can you believe you did that last night? Or how about today? You know, we're there, we're standing in front of the mirror, we're getting ourselves together, and we're thinking about Sally, Sister Susasu, who over here is just all that, and we're just, oh, I know I'm going to run into her today. Oh, my goodness, Lord, I just pray that she's, you know. And the thing of it is, you need to stop right then and there and start praying good things for Sister Sally Susasu. Because that's what's going to change her, and it's also what's going to change you. Because I don't care who you think you are, you ain't all that much. Because ain't none of us hung on a cross. Amen. And it's so amazing, because that's where we have to struggle. That's where the struggle comes in. It's separating ourselves, understanding that we are fallen, broken people, a separate entity unto God. We are not with Him. We are away from Him. That's where we were. And for many, that's where they are. But in Christ Jesus, when we begin to accept Him, death no longer holds us. We are, by the grace of God, free to live anew. How do I know that? Look at your scriptures. We're going to read on into chapter 6. Chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Because we just learned that as sin increased in all of our lives, grace was increased unto the point where God Himself came down. Amen? That we would be able to know freedom. So, if we want to experience more grace, then we need to keep right on sinning, right? No, because at that point, you have turned your back on the grace that you have. If you continue to sin purposefully, you have turned your back on the grace that you have. You have trampled underfoot the blood of God's one and only Son. And there is now in store for you condemnation. That's God's word. That's the book of Hebrews. Please look it up. You and I need to understand that if we continue in sin purposefully, once we have accepted the fact that Jesus paid our price and that he is our redemption, we are doing nothing more than sealing our own fate. Now, if you screw up, how many of you screw up? If you screw up and you do something stupid in a moment, if you are driving down the road and somebody, you know, does something really wonderful and you just reach out the window and say, you are number one. Because the heat of the moment gets us there. Is that a purposeful sin? Well, yes, because you meant to do it, but you did it in the heat of a reaction rather than in the midst of reasoning. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is those things that we do unabashedly at the moment, not thinking, just do. Those are the things Christ will cover. Those are the things that Jesus will say, hey, bring it to me, learn from it, get embarrassed, get shameful, feel the remorse, okay? But now let it go. Now let it go. Because I got you covered. Just don't do it again until next time. Right, Daniel? That man has taught me more about my salvific grace than any man I've ever known. Don't do it again until next time. Because God knows we're going to mess up. Amen? And his grace is there for when we mess up, not for when we contemplate. When you contemplate it, it's yours. Be careful. You can repent of it, and you can turn from it, and God will forgive you. But you have really got to repent of it. It cannot be just words coming out your mouth. It has to be a true heart turn, and you have to change. If you're just going to continue doing it, God's not going to cover it. That's in his word. We need to remember that. May it never be. That's what God says, that we would not continue in sin. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This, dear brothers and sisters, is the transformative grace that I spoke of last week. When I spoke about the spiritual transformation that God does in our lives, this is it. This is the picture of it. That God, through Christ Jesus, truly transforms us from sinners to saved people. That we are once again the image of God. And that is a grace that is beyond anything that any of us could ever afford. Because no man can pay for that price. But Jesus Christ did. However, we need to die to that old man or old woman. That old being that is in us must fade away. How easy is it for that old portion of us to fade away, brothers and sisters? How many of you got that covered right now? This is why you hear your pastor talk about progressive sanctification. We are truly sanctified in the sight of God. And I think it's amazing because he doesn't see us where we are. He sees us where we will be because he's looking at us eternally. He sees us as the finished product after the resurrection, after the second coming, when we are united with Christ as his bride, when we are past the millennium and into the eternal issues. That's where God sees us. Yes, he sees us where we are now, but remember, he knows us then. So you see, God is anticipating where we are. God is like Heinz 57 ketchup. He's waiting for it to happen. And you young people have no idea what I'm talking about. Ask your parents. Because it is just fun. You turn a bottle of Heinz 57 upside down, and how long does it take for that ketchup to come out of a new bottle? I think you could turn one of them suckers upside down and let it sit, and it'd probably stay there. I can remember getting the knife out and sticking it in there because I don't have anticipation. I'm hungry now. But you see, God's not that way. God is willing to wait because he knows that it is through the process that we learn and are changed. Amen. How many of us want to be changed now and get it over with? God says, nope, because if I do that, you're not going to learn anything. But if I let you understand my deep love, because that's what this is all about. It's us coming to understand God's deep love, that when we get into the millennium with Christ, we'll have that truth in us, knowing it, and we'll be able to serve God with that true mentality, that those that we are ruling over will not oppress, will not abuse, will love them as Christ has loved us. And yet at the end of the millennium, as we have loved them as Christ, they are going to turn on Christ and try to destroy him. And then God washes all things away one last and final time in the great white throne judgment at the end of time, and in comes the eternal kingdom. And we will all be with God forever. Amen? You know, it's kind of amazing. We are in school right now. I just learned Charles was accepted to college. Praise God and congratulations, buddy. He won't be here with us next year, so we're going to have to keep him in prayer. It's kind of like Jacob. He's up there in school, and I pray you're all praying for him. I know I do on a regular basis. And, you know, we've got others that are out there, and we got some that are getting ready to go, and we're going to be laying hands on one of them because the other's not here, but we're going to be praying over these young people, and we're going to be praising God for what's going on in their lives. Amen? Because God is moving them forward. God is moving us forward. But we need to remember, when God moves us forward, we got to take God with us. We can't forget God. He hasn't forgotten us, so we cannot forget him. Because when we come to that newness of life, that old self is gone. And I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you out there right now know? How many of you out there know that in this world, you will get pulled apart? Amen? It'll try to drag you down and make you accept things and compromise and everything else. We have died with Christ. We are done with sin. That's what we have to remember. We are done with sin. We are not slaves to it anymore. If somebody says to you, yeah, but you're intolerant, you look at them and say, suck it up, cupcake. Because truthfully, I'm allowing you to be who you are. You're not allowing me to be who I am. Now, who's intolerant? That's the reality of our world. They call us what they are. We call them to higher ground. Amen? Reading on. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to think about that. Jesus Christ raised up anew. Did he have all the scars and all the batterings and all the torn flesh and the blood and all that stuff on his resurrected body? No. He carried with him the stigmata. What is the stigmata? The scars in his hands and his feet. Okay? And the sword piercing or the spear piercing in his side. That's what he carried with him. Why? so that we would know him when we see him, so that we would remember what was paid for us. That's not for him. That was for us, so that we remember, so that we remember, so that we remember the love of God and what it cost him. What it costs us is getting rid of all this junk and living that new life and realizing that we too can live that new life in Jesus Christ. But we have to claim it. We have to claim our victory. We have to take hold of it and say, yes, this is me. In order to do that, what do we got to do? For if we have become united with him in his likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. The scripture tells us that if we have believed the truth, then we know that the truth has set us free, and Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen? And if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. That's John 8, 32 and 36. Okay? We need to understand that when we come to know him and know this truth and hold to this reality, that we truly have this freedom from sin, that we can say no to the things of this world. We are no longer captive and can't make that decision. We are a different being, and we can choose to say no. How many of you right now have done that very thing? When you go through your life, as things are coming your way, you know something's wrong before you enter into it, so you determine you're not doing it. Amen? I think it's funny, because when I first became a Christian, I would do something stupid, and sometimes it would take me 3 days until I realized, oh man, that was stupid. Why did I do that? And then I'd ask for forgiveness. Then after a little while, guess what? It would only took 1 day. Oh, man, I did that again. And then after a little while, it took a couple hours until it got to the point that it was instantaneous, that as I was contemplating it, I knew it was wrong and I was... You know what I'm getting at? Ain't never been there. I'm the only one that stuff happens to. I know I'm not. God works on all our hearts, amen? And I think it's so amazing when we see God working in that manner that we know we're headed in the wrong direction and all of a sudden we come face to face with our faith and that reality of Christ in us and we change direction. We don't even take one step down that path. But it takes time to get there, doesn't it? Take the time with Christ. He wants to take the time with you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves us all that would choose him. He even loves the people that hate him. But that's their choice. So when we come to that place of understanding, we have that choice. When we understand that we have this new nature, okay, this is where we truly begin to find ourselves, to find out who we are. And in that finding out who we are, we come to the reality of whose we really are. We're not our own. We just sang the song, "It's All About You." It's all about you, Jesus. Okay? You know, how many of you, when you were singing that song, thought that, you know, you were saying it's all about you and you were talking about yourself? And we all knew who was the you. Jesus. Each and every one of us. But you know, I think there are some people that sing those songs and they think they're talking about themselves. Because they certainly act that way, don't they? It's a sad thing. But I hate to say this. I'm going to say this. Outside of Jesus Christ, that's what we all did. Amen. But in Christ, he changes us. He transforms us. Do you see how these sermons tie together? One to the next to the next. Because as we are transformed, we can take hold of the victory that we have and we can live victoriously. How do we take control? Let's read on from verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. You and I are in the same manner. Sin no longer has rule over our lives. We have been set free through the blood of Christ and the cross of Calvary. That you and I can no longer continue as we were. We have been separated from that person, and we are now new in Christ Jesus, and we must begin to live anew. This is the spiritual transformation that takes place in each and every one of us. It's not something we do, but it's what God does in and through us unto himself. Most of you sit down, read your scriptures, and you are looking for God. You are looking for his heart to teach you. Amen? How many people do you think read the Bible just to see what's in there? To see if they can find that God is real? I think it's funny because when you think about history, we know that there were several people who sat down, read the Bible to try and disprove it. And in the doing so, found Christ. Because the Word has a way of changing us. Because when we seek the Word, their motive when they started, and the one I'm speaking of is Max Lucado, when he started, he was looking to disprove God. And when he ended, he found a Savior that loved him and embraced him and freed him from his own faults. That's a transformation that only God can do. And he can transform each and every one of us. He can transform you. That's his love. The power of God's love knows no bounds. Can I get an amen? Amen. And in that we have the hope of Christ. Even so, from verse 11, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Brothers and sisters, we can now say, if you have followed me the whole way through this section, that you know where you were. You know where you come from. You are in the process of understanding where you are and how to get to where you need to be. But the one thing we have to do is the very end of this section, from 11 to 14, that we are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. That is claiming our victory. We must remember that the negative stuff of this world has no weight over us. It's going to try and drag you down. It's going to try and pull at you and defeat you at every step. But as it does, in the face of it, you must say, no, I will not allow you to destroy me. I have been set free in Jesus Christ, and I have the joy of eternal life in me now. You and I are eternal beings now. The power of Christ's resurrection flows through our veins now. Not later. It's going to flow through a whole lot better later, but it flows through us now. Why? Because if you are in Christ, Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is living in you and is alive and is well and is just as powerful as the Holy Spirit who set Jesus Christ out of the grave. Same Holy Spirit. He hasn't changed and he hasn't lost any power. You and I need to claim that victory now. Because in the face of your trials, in the face of your sin, it's the only way you're going to be able to defeat it and overcome it is looking at the fact that Jesus Christ has won the victory and that victory is mine. Can you say amen to that? The victory is mine. Say that. The victory is mine. That's what you have to say to yourself every time the evil one gets in your face. And I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you fought the evil one just this past week? I see hands going, yeah, I know I did. It's a daily battle. I get up in the morning and the first thing I do is pray for my day because I know he's going to try and come at me. I also know that I'm still in here. So I can't blame it all on Satan, can I? I'd like to, because then that gets me off the hook. But God says, ah, nobody did that to you but you. And we need to understand that too. That Jesus Christ came to set us free, not only from sin coming at us from outside, but sin that comes at us from inside. I think it's so amazing. We all like to find somebody to blame. Well, I hate to tell you this, you only have to go as far as your mirror. Start there. And you'll end well. End there, and I don't know if you're ever going to finish. Do you get my point on that? Because God says judgment starts where? With the church. Who's the church? You are. We have to look here first. Then, as the stuff comes to us, then we can, with open eyes and clear eyes, see it for what it really is. It has to start here first. So take hold of that victory over your own self. Over your own self, sis. Do you hear me? Over your own self. Is that leg going to control you forever? It shouldn't be controlling you right now. Yep, she got it now. And all of us have those very same issues. We have got to get over it. We've got to get through it. We have got to allow the love of God to supersede it and claim that victory. Because I don't care what your leg's telling you. Your spirit should be telling you, I'm driving next week. I'm going back to work. I know I heard. I heard you were driving. But I'm talking by yourself to work. Don't just claim the little ones. Claim the big ones. Lest you put a target out there you can aim for. You know, we start out with BB guns, but then we get to the big stuff. Ask Russell. He's in Arizona shooting tanks right now. Don't get much bigger than that. You and I need to start aiming a little bit higher, shooting a little bit further. Get rid of that shotgun pattern. Do you see how I started this? So many of us go at life. We want to try and take care of all of it at one time. Pick out one target. Take care of it. Then move to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and begin to see them fall from miles away rather than having to wait until you're right on top of it. How many of you would rather have the stuff fall out of your life way out there, doesn't even get close to me anymore, rather than right here in your face all the time? Start taking hold of your victory. And you will live victoriously. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much. You paid a price, Lord Jesus. You have given us the hope of eternity. But Lord God, we have got to apportion and we've got to think of who we are, where we came from, where we are now, understanding what you've given us, and then walk into the truth and claim that victory today and walk in its power. For the power of God surpasses all things. So, Lord, give us that strength that we may live victoriously in this life, understanding and knowing that, yes, things are going to come at us, but, Lord God, you are our shield and our fortress, and nothing can penetrate us when we put on that full armor. You will defend us and keep us both now and forever. And God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.